Fort Smith, Arkansas's second largest city, started as a military outpost on the western frontier back in 1817. Fort Smith played a key role in western migration and provided military escorts for 49er gold rush prospectors and pioneer settlers. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join National Park Ranger Cody Faber at Fort Smith National Historic Site. We'll then visit with Julie Woods Moncrief at the Clayton House Belgrove Historic District, a 22-square-block neighborhood of enchanting Victorian homes in the heart of Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Cody Faber?
Yes, sir. Cody Faber.
The National Park Ranger?
You betcha.
Here at Fort Smith National Historic Site.
That's right. Yeah, happy to be here. I've been here 8 years now and grew up in the area, so this is home.
So you know it well.
I try to anyways.
So interesting what you were talking about earlier, that back in the day, or early 1800s, this was the West. This was the frontier. We don't think of Arkansas as being the West, and yet it was.
Right. Every area has its own stair-stepping element, and you think about Arkansas at the time, and when the first soldiers came here in 1817, this was the farthest outreach of the United States. Arkansas wouldn't become actually a territory until two more years. And so they were in the farthest outreaches of the United States at this point.
Behind us, about 100 yards in a walkway,
There's
painted on the ground a territorial line. Tell us about that
point. That's right. That's basically cut off to Oklahoma, which is at the time was going to be Indian territory.
Oklahoma did not exist.
It did not exist. And so basically this time you have this area of the country has been provided by for the Native Americans, not happily. You know, as we've talked about a lot today, this is some sad chapters in American history. So that line really delegates a fine line in history that Americans are not proud of, and some are. You know, you think about the tribes who've been forced out, and yet they're still here. They survived. And so to them, it's a survival story.
In an interesting contextual subchapter here at Fort Smith, when they first arrived, the United States government, it was to protect and intervene between different Native American tribes,
right,
not to subdue the Native Americans.
Right, that's true. Yes, they had many different reasons for being here, but one of them was to keep the peace between the tribes. You had the Osage who lived here, and you had the Cherokee at first who slowly started to migrate to this area, and as they begin fighting, really the government's afraid that they're going to spill back over into Arkansas, and they're going to kill themselves, and so the government sent basically to keep the peace on those two tribes. And very different story compared to what's going to happen in the military really the next half century with them.
So that worked out, and they closed the base, and then it was not until, what, the 1840s or 1850s?
Yeah, mid-1830s, they start finally coming back, and they build the second Fort Smith, which, is, of course, produces a lot of the town. You know, with the military comes commerce and money and economic progress, and so that builds the town. So if you really want to enjoy the second largest city in Arkansas, you can thank the second coming of the Fort Smith Fort for that, but that's gonna progress into that. Yes, sir.
What's interesting, when you think of westward migration for the 1849 gold rush in California, I first think of St. Joe, Missouri,
right,
and not Fort Smith, Arkansas. And yet this was a seminal gateway, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, Fort Smith, they start sending out people as early as 1850. And what precipitated a lot of that was the topographical engineers were looking for routes when here in Santa Fe. And so they began offering military escorts the entire way there. Fort Smith ended up sending over 5,000 people to the gold fields with military escorts the entire way, which they were very proud of.
And in the westward migration, pre-railroad, it was rare to have military escort.
Yes, it was. They were very lucky, and they bragged about that, as did the town, because they knew if they could offer that, then they could get more money to people coming in. So they knew what they were doing. They were smart.
Because of that, this whole sub-industry started in Fort Smith. I understand there were wagon wheel makers and wagon makers.
You betcha.
Everything, all the accoutrements, the supplies that were needed for the westward migration.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, because of that, you have all these businesses pop up, land speculators. You have every business you can possibly think of that would have come in because of that. So once again, people don't think about it being involved with the gold rush, but it ends up being a huge precipitator. And a lot of them who didn't make it or came here stayed here. And once again, exponentially grew the town as well.
So then we move forward in time, and there's a huge game shifter with the advent of the Civil War.
That's right.
And this was not a real Union stronghold.
No, it was not. Arkansas did have Union sympathizers, and mostly in this section of the state. You know, a lot of the Confederate sympathy came from cotton plantations, large slave populations, which was more on the eastern part of the state near the Gulf and the Mississippi River. But there was still, this was mostly Confederate territory. So in 1861, it fell almost immediately into Confederate hands. And it's going to, if the fort didn't remain that way, the region was going to.
Talk about the story of Fort Smith post-Civil War.
Following the Civil War, what you have is a lot of the Civil War is going to cause an enormous amount of crime. The guerrilla warfare that took place following the Civil War is going to precipitate a lot of the crime wave that's going to sweep Oklahoma or Indian Territory at the time. And, of course, that's going to indeed need the military to stay here. They end up leaving, though, in 1871. So the following year in 72, federal court system for the Western District of Arkansas moves in. That's the story of the U.S. Marshal Service. And, of course, if you've watched True Grit, that's where that comes from and all those Western movies. But they're going to be prescribed with taking care of that crime wave that's going to follow the Civil War.
So now here we are years later. It's a beautiful day in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And this is a very popular tourist attraction draw for this whole area of the country.
Absolutely. Since we set off right off I-40, people pass by on their way to a lot of other national parks. But this is a destination spot. I mean, we have, you know, half a dozen historic sites here in town, a national park with us here in town. We've got the U.S. Marshall Museum that's being built. And plus, once again, our site, we cover everything from 1817 to 1896. And almost everything took place in western Arkansas in the mid-19th century.
There are authentic buildings, historic buildings, right, from the United States Army, yep, period, including over your shoulder, one of the oldest stone buildings in Arkansas.
We have a lot of on our site, of course, with remade gallows, but we have the original, like you said, the commissary building.
That's what, 1830?
1838 was when that building was sort of built. And then our building inside the visitor center goes back to 1851. So you've got a lot of neat architecture and a lot of neat stories here.
Briefly describe the building. It's quite impressive.
It is.
Brick structure.
We get a lot of compliments on our brick building here for the visitor center. I mean, it's three stories tall. You have vertical and horizontal windows that are just beautiful. You got some gigantic windows on the sides, the stair steps that go up. And inside the building, we have two floors of exhibits inside the building, stuff on the first jail, second jail, stuff on the courtroom of Judge Parker, and things of that nature. So it's just as neat on the inside as the outside, believe it or not.
From when does this building date?
The earliest part of the building goes back to 1851, since it's been standing. They added on parts of it, the long end of the building here in 1888, well, 1886 to 88, and then the top floor was finally added 1890, and that was the last addition. So the last thing being built, 1890.
Again, bottom line, why Fort Smith was located here was its strategic location, riverfront, correct?
That's right, that's right. The river really dictated us being here. The confluence of the Arkansas and the Poteau coming together, and then, of course, they built the first fort site there, and then we've been really a military presence from 1817 till 2016.
Wow.
So you think about Camp Chaffee being out here. You got the fighter wing, you know, here in the Air Force. The military came in 1817. They've never left.
Cody Faber, only because we're out of time and you got to go to work and I've got to go.
Too bad.
Yeah, you know, happy to have you. I spend all day with you.
Appreciate it.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Fort Smith, Arkansas, where we've been talking with National Park Ranger Cody Faber. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
My name is Julie Woods Moncrief.
Right now we're Fort Smith, Arkansas. This was the Wild West frontier, wasn't it?
It was. We're sitting in the front yard of the prosecuting attorney of one of the most famous courts. It was the court of the frontier to tame the West, neighboring Indian territory, and this was the home of the U.S. attorney charged with bringing law and order in the 1870s and 1880s.
And this whole neighborhood where we're sitting in front of this beautiful mansion is just laden with incredible Victorian, Eastlake, and turn-of-the-century beauties.
Yes, the Belgrove Historic District in Fort Smith actually rivals historic districts nationwide for the large number of different Victorian styles. And it's just a story of our whole history of this area, starting with so many decades of growth from the 1817 when we first started, mm-hmm, through all the decades, and especially after the railroad explosion and immigrants. So you'll have homes from German and Swedish and Ireland right next to each other in this one compact place.
And even before the advent of the railroad, the gold rush in California created a boom of sorts, because this was a portal to the West, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. This was a gateway to the West, just like St. Louis. And, you know, the nation's country edge came north and south right down to Fort Smith, and this was a gateway to the west, a very famous one, and that's how Fort Smith got a huge start in the furniture industry, because we started out making the wagon wheels and wagons for the 49ers all the way up. People would come here, and at the end of Garrison Avenue, right before the Arkansas River, they'd get all their supplies. And so, colorful history that we're having so much fun promoting and sharing with the country right now.
Back in the day when the furniture industry started going, that was on the heels again of the gold rush. So it follows that the distribution would have been even to San Francisco for some of the furniture here, as well as the East Coast.
Yes, so all across, yes, this side of the Mississippi, you may find furniture that was made in Fort Smith, Arkansas. In the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s, we were on the edge of the Great American Forest. Tremendous craftsmanship. And, of course, the furniture industry has lasted all the way through the 21st century. It's shrunk quite a bit.
But still there.
But it's still there, still the craftsmanship.
So talk about Fort Smith today. It's a historic town where people come for the architecture. What else do they come to Fort Smith for?
Well, you know, it's so fun seeing how a community can change. And right now we are the southern neighbor to the largest growing portion of Arkansas, which is called Northwest Arkansas now. The Crystal Bridges by Ms. Walton was built in Bentonville.
And how far is Bentonville from here?
It's an hour max, hour and 15 minutes. And so we're really excited about the triangle of terrific tourism in Arkansas, because you've got Golden Bridges with an amazing American Art History Museum. Then you've got the amazing Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock. And now in about 2 or 3 years, you'll have the United States Marshals Museum on the banks of the Arkansas River, just a stone's throw from where we're sitting, right across from Indian Territory. The design of that U.S. Marshals Museum, we're still working to raise the $50 million, but we've got about $30 million, is going to be the shape of a Marshal's badge laying on the ground.
Wow.
It'll be a tremendous museum, so we're excited about just letting the whole country know about Fort Smith. It's got a sweetness, and people, when they learn about it, they feel like it's a best-kept secret. With our huge, wide Garrison Avenue down there, that we have history, you know, pictures all the way back, of course, to 1840s of the saloons and all that. And got a great history in this sweet neighborhood, so we're very proud and excited.
So what other things are you most proud of in Fort Smith? Why should I come here?
I love that. What else am I proud of here? So proud. I never knew I'd move back to my hometown, but I've been here back since 1994 and raised our girls here. I'm proud that we've been able to maintain some peaceful settings and good small town feel, even though we really are growing.
And what is the population?
The population now is about 90,000. But it's good growth and strong growth, and I'm most excited, I think, as everyone in Fort Smith is now, is about this new energy in downtown. And some amazing things have happened, because, you know, Garrison Avenue is wider than any other streets, and it was fashioned after the road in Paris, whichever one that was, the big avenue. The old buildings still exist, except for a few that were knocked off from tornado. But a great new energy is coming that all cities across the country I know wish for. Suddenly Fort Smith has it, and it's been because of just that right click of a generation or a mixed generation group of people that says, hey, we have a treasure here, let's bring people here to show it. And one of the most interesting things is what just took place, and it was the second annual Unexpected, and that's the name of it, Unexpected. And 10 world-renowned artists of the most artistic kind, most of them only have one name, but they're famous for doing murals on buildings. They were brought here from Italy, so many different countries, and now if you drive up Garrison Avenue, you're going to see these huge masterpieces. Even on the twin towers of a feed mill on Towson Avenue, a man came in and painted some employees that had been working at this feed mill for 60 years. It's just classic art. But that has brought everybody downtown. Now we know where every mural is. We look at them all. We're all down every weekend. We've got great restaurants, great bars. You know, Garrison Avenue at one time when the Claytons lived here had about 52 saloons on it. And so I'm just thrilled that we're a city that can keep growing strong, even though you have to change. The furniture industry isn't that big, but other industries are growing. We've got some great high-tech companies coming now, and then, of course, the world-class ArcBest, the premier trekking company of the United States, one of the largest ever. It was born here.
Wow, that's really cool.
At the Clayton House, one thing I'm very proud of is that we started a show called Family History Series, and people are packing in here on the fourth Sunday because we have someone that has ancestors who lived in Fort Smith in the 1800s. And so their descendants come. Maybe their great-great-great-grandfather started one of the big banks, or, as in our presentation last month of Robert Young, he started Arkansas Best Trucking Company. And they bring photos. I help them put them in a PowerPoint. All of a sudden, our whole audience is seeing pictures of Fort Smith that we've never seen before because they were a personal family's photos. And so we call the Clayton House home of our heritage. We're very happy that it's performing that role of a historic house museum that it's said it can do. It brings people together and creates cohesion in a community. And so very excited that we are so lucky that our citizens saved this from the wrecking ball in 1969 and did that 7-year total technical restoration, and you step into 1882.
That's so cool. And it's open to the public pretty much every day.
Yes, it is pretty much every day. By special appointment, if you just call, or our main touring days are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But we don't ever like to turn anyone away. So if the phone rings and I'm here doing fundraising, because we're completely donation funded, I'll say, yes, come in and I'll give you a tour. And everybody is really tickled with this tour.
That's so cool.
My name is Julie Moncrief, and for more information about the Clayton House, you can go to claytonhouse.org, our website. We have Clayton House Fort Smith Facebook page, which is really active, and I will put your picture on there, Tom. And the phone is 479-783-3000.
Nice. Julie, thank you. What a joy to meet you and share.
Oh, gosh, thank you. I've enjoyed your whole group of travel journalists. What a pleasure and an opportunity for us. So thank you for what you do.
Very cool. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Arkansas.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.